Y'all excited to be here this morning? All right, we're going to get in the Word of God. If you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word, we're going to read Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. It says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful that we have an opportunity to gather, Lord, to worship you, to learn from your word, and to celebrate the things that you've done in our lives. And I pray that we, what we have sung have been honoring to you. And Father, now I pray that we would give our ear to attention to the Holy Spirit, what he wants to speak to us today. May we be obedient. Help me to preach plain and clear, Lord. I do understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we are going through the book of Proverbs, we understand some things about this book. It is repetitive. There are certain things that are stated over and over. And the first sermon in this message, we looked at the worth of wisdom, that it's invaluable, that the Bible is full of gems, treasures, diamonds to give us wisdom for our life. We also talked about the wisdom, the work of wisdom, and how our work should be viewed. And we noted that throughout the Proverbs, there's repetition of multiple truths. So we're taking those and putting those together and talking about a certain concept. So today, I want us to talk about the words of wisdom. I want to talk about our mouth today. Because if you notice in Proverbs chapter 6, the things that we just read, when we stood up, we heard what God's word said. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Now, three of those seven dealt with our tongue. Did you catch that? Three of the seven that God hates is about our mouth. So I think we need to pay particular attention to what God's word says. I'm going to read a lengthy chapter in James chapter 3. So if you would just listen as I read this, you can follow along there on the screen. And listen to James and what he is saying, and notice what he's saying about the tongue. James 3, verse 3. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Why do people lie? Why do people lie? There's two reasons or motivations that James gives here in this text. One is jealousy, and one is selfish ambition or pride. Jealousy and pride and selfish ambition will cause people to lie. They are jealous of what others have, maybe that they don't have, or they see things they want that they don't want, and envious, and they're envious, and so they will lie to try to have what they think they should have, or try to hurt or harm someone else. They'll make others look bad so that they can look good. Also, I think people lie just because of a wickedness in their heart. Some people just enjoy and they get pleasure out of hurting other people. And so lying is a very serious thing that we must understand. And throughout this message, I'm going to talk about our tongue. And there's a fool's way and there's a wise way. There's the foolish way and the wise way. And in the book of Proverbs, you can either live the fool or you can be the wise person. And I think it should be our goal that we all would want to strive to be the wise person. Amen? So we'll notice some things here in the book of Proverbs. Foolish words displease, while wise words delight. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22, it says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight." Proverbs 14, 5, "A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness breathes out lies." Lying, not telling the truth, trying to harm individuals, trying to hurt other people, lying. It's one of the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not bear false witness," right? Why is lying such an evil? I believe it's such an evil because it's the language of Satan himself. When Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees in John chapter 8, he said, "When you're not sons of God, you're sons of the devil. You're from your father, the devil. He is a liar, and every time he speaks lies because that's his native language." And we read Genesis chapter 3, when Satan comes and speaks to Eve, what does he do? He deceives and he lies. He says, did God really say? So he's starting to put a seed of doubt into her mind. Then he flat out lies and he says, "You will not die. For God knows that when you eat of the fruit, you will be like him, knowing good and evil." No, God is the one lying to you. I'm the one telling the truth. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. And so when you speak lies, you're speaking after a demonic spirit. Isn't that what James says? He says, that's not the wisdom from above. No, it is earthly and demonic. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I a truth teller? Do I speak the truth or do I lie? Do I deceive? Am I deceptive? Because if I lie and I deceive and I'm deceptive, it's an abomination to the Lord. It displeases the Lord. But if I want to bring the Lord delight and I want to bring him pleasure and I want to please the Lord, then I will be a truth teller. I will speak truth and be honest. Our mouth. Also, foolish words misguide, while wise words guide. Okay, foolish words will misguide, wise words will guide. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20 says this, "The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth." Okay, now look at that. The tongue of the righteous is what? Choice silver. It's good. It's precious. It does you good. It's valuable. Proverbs 10:31. "The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse." The mouth of the righteous is like choice silver. Godly advice and godly counsel is precious wealth. I don't know if you have anybody in your life that you talk to get advice. I don't know if there's any person who you see in your life as being wise, godly, and someone that you respect, and someone that you can call and talk to when you are in seasons of doubt, seasons of change, seasons of just different seasons of your life. But I highly encourage everyone to have those individuals. For young people in the high school, about to go to college, you're in college and you're seeking a career and you've got this plan, here's what I would advise you to do. I would advise you to find someone in your field who has excelled and done it the right way, in a godly way. And I would say, hey, would you mind if I took you to lunch, and if I could just spend an hour, I want to buy you lunch, and I just want to spend an hour with you. I just want to talk about how you got to where you are. I just like to learn from you. How did you, what kind of decisions did you make that helped you get from point A to point B? Always asking the people ahead of you that's where you want to be, how'd you get there? What are the things that you did that helped get you there? What are some things that you would say if you were talking to the to you again, if you could go back in time, that you would say, don't do? I'd like to learn that, please. Would you help me? That's seeking out wisdom. There's certain pastors in my life that they're older than me that I call, and I'll call them often. I'll call them sporadically at times and often in other seasons. And I'll say, hey, here's what's going on. Here's what I'm thinking. And I'll get their advice. And I want to be someone who's always seeking that godly counsel, because godly counsel and people who will put you on the right path, that's choice silver. They're helping you avoid mistakes. And they're helping you go into the path of righteousness. But I'm telling you, you got to watch who you listen to. Because if you're not listening to the right person, you don't get choice silver. You get harm. And you get destruction. Because the fool's mouth doesn't bring forth wisdom. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge. It praises, applauds, shares, pours out knowledge. But the mouth of fools pours out folly. Some people, you don't ever want to ask their advice. You just don't, because they're going to tell you the wrong thing. Somebody that's hot-headed, don't get their advice on how to handle a situation. Well, I'll tell you what I'd do. Here's what I'd do. I'd just go tell them a thing or two. You ever have some of those type of advices? And you got to be careful who you listen to. Don't be selective. Got to make sure that when you go ask somebody for advice, you seek out godly counsel. And here's what you don't do. You don't keep asking somebody's opinion until finally somebody says what you want them to say. Right? Some of you will ask 20 people and 19 of them will tell you the same thing, the thing that would be godly and good, but maybe you don't want to hear. But that one person then gives you the advice of carnal flesh, and you go, see, somebody agrees with me. And you'll go do that. Make sure you're seeking advice and godly counsel from wisdom, because wise words will guide you into the path of righteousness in God's ways, and foolish words will misguide you and take you away. Here's another one. Foolish words harm, wise words heal. Okay? Foolish words will harm, wise words will heal. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says this: there is one whose rash words are like sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. By the words that we say, we can wound people. We can wound our spouse. We can wound our children. We can wound the people that we work with. We can wound the people we're around. Very harsh, rash words. You're stupid. You'll never amount to anything. You are a failure. Everything that you do, you mess up. Why can't you be like your brother? Why can't you be like your sister? You make me sick. I'm tired of looking at you. Those are all words that will cut deep into the soul of a human being. We can tear people down and we can hurt people. And some of you have been scarred. Some of you may have grew up in a home where you weren't physically abused, but you were severely verbally abused. And you still have the scars of that. You feel like you're unworthy, that you will never succeed, that you're not loved, and you're not accepted. That's the danger of rash, hard words. It will cut deep in like a knife. Harsh words and foolish words will hurt, but wise words will heal. Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. And I believe in you. And God can turn you around. I like the way you're good at that. You're strong. You can make it. I try to do this with my kids, and I'll try to do this often. Not every night, not all the time, but sometimes. Sometimes Michelle puts Micah to bed and she prays and does a little Bible study with her. And sometimes I have my time with Micah and I'll put her to bed. And sometimes I'll look at her in the face and I'll say, Micah, I love you. And I'm proud of you. And you're strong and you're beautiful and God's going to use you to do great things. I want to speak life into her. I'll pray with Caleb and we'll have our devotion time. And I not every night, but then occasionally I'll just put my hand on Caleb's head and I'll say, Caleb, I'm proud of you. I love you. And I believe God's going to do some amazing things in your life. I want to encourage. I want to bless. Because if we're not careful, we will hurt and harm with our words. You know, you go to work, what it'll look like if you're the encourager, if you're the one who's lifting people up and not tearing people down. It says this in Proverbs 18:14, a man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? You know, if we get sick, God's wired our body to heal, and we can press through physical sickness. But man, when you're crushed in spirit, when you're depressed, when you're going through a dark place, when you're spiritually just dry, sometimes you need that word, somebody just to come along and encourage you. Say, hey, it's going to be okay. You're going to get through. It'll work out. God's not abandoned you. He'll see you through. You need that word of encouragement, and sometimes you need it right at the right time. Proverbs 15:23 says, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. Have you ever had that right word at the right time spoken to you? Huh? You might not have needed it a year ago, but man, you went through something and somebody, they just come in and they say the right thing at the right time and you're like, oh, thank you, Lord, I needed that. It's a game changer. You're maybe moving in a dark place, a depressing place, and somebody just comes along and they say that right word, maybe send that right text, maybe send that right letter or whatever it is and just flips it. What if we're that person to other people? What if we look for those opportunities that if we see someone down that we're the person that speaks that word of encouragement to them at the right time so that they can be turned around and they can get their focus back? Amen. Our tongue, our mouth will either be used to harm or heal. The wise person will use their tongue to what? Heal. Other thing we notice in Proverbs, foolish words attack while wise words protect. Foolish words will attack while wise words protect. Proverbs 16:28 says this, a dishonest man spreads strife and a whisperer separates close friends. Look at that. A dishonest man will spread strife and a whisperer will separate close friends. There are some people who are jealous of your relationships with other people. There are some people who, because maybe they've been hurt, they try to hurt. and they try to whisper and speak deceit or lies to try to cause friction or harm in friendships and in relationships. Oh, you got to know what they really think about you. A whisperer, a murmur, a gossip. You got to be careful, because there are some people who love to try to cause friction in other people's lives. Maybe it's because they're not satisfied with their own life. They feel insecure. There's many motivations. But people will try to get in your ear and cause friction and cause dissension among somebody that you love. Proverbs 17:4 says, "An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to mischievous tongue." To a mischievous tongue. Now look, these two proverbs that we just read, there is one person who loves to whisper, who loves to cause friction, who loves to cause and try to separate. That's one wicked individual. The other wicked individual is the one who loves to listen to that. Oh, really? They said, what? Tell me more. And they love to engage in that, and they want to listen, and they want to tell. And so what the Bible says is the one who is the whisperer and the one who loves to hear the whispering are both in the wrong. So if you're somebody that always loves to hear the newest gossip, the juiciest, tell me what, then you're a fool. You're going down the fool's path. You're going down the path of wickedness. You're going down the path of deceit and destruction, which is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. There are some people who all they want to do is criticize, critique, and talk bad about other people. These are folks who they know something on you. They know a flaw. They know something you said, something you did. They know a secret or whatever. And instead of truly loving you and caring for you and protecting you and covering that, no, they attack you and they put you down and they expose that to try to make you look bad. If they make you look bad, it'll make you look good. And so you have people that will talk about other people, they'll write blogs about other people, they'll write on their Facebook about other people, they'll maybe send an email, and they'll just expose things to try to make people look bad. If you're one of those people, you need to stop. It's not good. It's not godly. It's not pleasing to the Lord. Why? Because that shows your true character. You don't truly love and protect. And my grandmother used to say, you don't need to air your dirty laundry out there with the whole world to see it. Right? Some things you keep covered, right? But no, there's some people they just love that if they can make you look bad, they'll try to do that. And they'll talk about things and spread it and stir it and just try to see if they can make you look like the person that is the fool rather than they're the one being the fool. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a simple babbler. So here the Bible gives us wisdom and tells us how to respond. If you have a friend or if you know someone that's always critical of everybody, always criticizing, always putting people down, always trying to tell every bad thing about everybody, and always trying to make people look bad, the Bible says avoid them. Don't associate with them. Remove yourself from them. Okay? There are some times when it's good for people to move out of your life. Sometimes you just gotta let people go. You just gotta remove yourself. You gotta, you know, you don't have to be their Facebook buddy. You don't have to encourage them and like their stuff. You don't have to keep calling them every. You know, there's some people where it's just good that they leave. Proverbs 22:10 says, "Drive out a scoffer, and strife will go out, and quarreling and abuse will what? Cease." There's sometimes when people aren't healthy for you. And you got to cut them off. There's sometimes when people leave a business and it's good for the business. There's sometimes when somebody quits the team, it's actually good for the team. There's sometimes when people leave a church, it's actually good for the church. Because there are sometimes people will try to hurt, critique, criticize, and they will be critical of everyone and everything. And if you have those type of people in your life, the Bible says you got to get them out of your life, right? Proverbs 26:20, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases." You hear that? That's wisdom. That's God's word. Are we going to obey it or not? That's up to us. "As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife." Somebody who likes to argue and stirs things up, they're going to continually stir things up. The words of a whisperer, like a delicious morsel, they go down into inner parts of the body. Avoid such people. Foolish words will attack, while wise words will protect and cover, and not try to shame or overly criticize their friend. Foolish words are many, wise words are few. Foolish words are many, wise words are few. Proverbs 20:3, "It is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling." Getting in an argument. If you ever get in a quarrel or an argument, never do it in public. If you do it out in public and everybody is watching, here's the way it looks like. Have you ever seen just an argument or quarreling going on and you've been the one watching it from a distance, or anybody? All right. So here's how it looks from an onlooker, right? You're like. And then you got the other person over here going. You got hands waving and mouths and heads bobbing and all kinds of stuff. And you're sitting there watching this go on and you're wondering, I wonder who the fool is. Right? You can't tell the difference. You don't know who the one has the correct way of thinking and the one who doesn't, because they both look foolish. Quarreling, arguing, bickering, getting in fights, getting in arguments, getting in, you know, just all this back and forth does no good. Proverbs 18:6, "A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul." Right? Sometimes I heard this growing up as a kid. Boy, your mouth's about to get you into trouble. Did anybody ever hear that? Well, we need to hear that more often, even as adults. Your mouth's about to get you into trouble. There are some times when you just need to hush. Just zip it. Just don't say anything. I know you want to comment. I know you want to pop off. I know you got a really good zinger down there that you're really about to let loose, and you can just really let them have it. But sometimes you just need to hush. Just smile. Pray, walk away, use wisdom. Proverbs 13:3, "Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." Proverbs 21:23, "Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble." Proverbs 17:27, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, And he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Calm, cool, and collected. Just calm down. Don't overreact. Don't get yourself all emotionally charged. Don't say everything you think. Just be quiet, think, pray. Better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Just calm. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Now, the last thing I want to mention is foolish words will deny, while wise words will confess. James 1, verse 26 says this: if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Our tongue. Our tongue. Our mouth will either deny Jesus as Lord or confess him as Lord. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Confess. Wise words will confess. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus, I believe that what you did, you died for my sin, and I want you to be Lord of my life. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. See that? If you deny the Lord and say, I don't believe that what Jesus did is sufficient for salvation, I don't believe that he died for my sin, I don't believe that he rose again, I don't believe that, you damn yourself, eternally separated from God through your tongue. I want you to know how serious our mouths are. How wicked it is to be deceitful, hurtful, and using our tongue unwisely. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, who are the unrighteous? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, oh yeah, that's right, absolutely, amen. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, keep preaching. Nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, yep. Nor thieves, oh yeah. Nor the covetous, nor drunkards, yeah. Nor revilers. Those are slanderers, gossips, people who do not use their tongue correctly. Nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Do you see that? In that group of sins that no one will inherit the kingdom of God if this is their lifestyle, the gossiping, slanderous, lying tongue is right there among them. That James says will be set on fire in hell. So our tongues and how we use our mouth will either be a delight unto God or an abomination unto God. But here's the good news. Such were some of you, he says. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. He says, some of you had all kinds of mess going on in your life. You were sexually immoral. You were lying. You were thieves. You were drunkards. You had all kinds of stuff going on. But then the grace of God grabbed a hold of your life, saved you, changed you, and you are now no longer those things. That you don't have to be addicted to those things. You don't have to live your life that way. You don't have to live a life of selfishness, greed, orneriness, all of those things. You can use your tongue to glorify the Lord, to bless those around you, to lift people up. You don't have to live that way. You can be changed. Isn't that good news? So this morning, some of you have never confessed Jesus as Lord because you think you're okay. And the reason why you think you're okay is because you've never done the big sins. And we define the big sins. Murder. Sexual immorality. Murder, sexual immorality. That's pretty much everything. If you don't do one of those two things, you're going to heaven. That's what a lot of people think. But gossip and slandering is right in that same list that sends you to hell. And so if you've never confessed Jesus as Lord, if you've never used your tongue to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, guess what? You're not heaven bound. You're not heaven bound. You need to trust in Jesus. This morning, if you've never trusted in Jesus, would you use your mouth to confess Jesus as Lord? And for those of us who are believers today, would we allow the Holy Spirit to check us and say, Lord, how have I been misusing my tongue? Have I been hurting people instead of healing people? Have I been misguiding people instead of guiding people? Have I been attacking people instead of protecting people? How have I misused my tongue? And help me to repent of that and use it to glorify you. We need to use our tongue to pray for people that we know that need saved. Pray for our church, our kids. There's all kinds of reasons to pray today. Let us obey. Father, we thank you so much. We love you. And I pray, God, that we would be people who walk in wisdom. Lord, that we would use our tongue to be a delight to you. That we would speak truth. That we would guide people with our tongue, not misguide them. That we would heal and not harm. That we would protect and not attack. That we'd use our tongues to confess that Jesus, you are Lord. Help us to obey you today. For it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's come.